Cliff Central. The revolution.
I've got something important to tell you.
CliffCentral.com. Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com.
Welcome to Future CEOs here on Cliff Central. It's so good to be with you. My name is Gareth Armstrong. If you have just joined us, well, then you missed out on a really, really good conversation with some entrepreneurs who are involved in an incubation program. It's definitely worth the listen. Go to CliffCentral.com to get the podcast. Worth the listen. We're going to move swiftly into our next conversation, which is quite interesting. What we're going to do is we're going to do a little bit of a profiling piece. Now, we don't usually share this kind of stuff on air, but the reason this profile is so fascinating is, well, this young lady, can I call you a young lady? Is that?
Please do.
Okay. This young lady, she was working in a banking environment and then moved over to travel brands, marketing. That doesn't quite connect for me. Lesejo, just tell us very, very quickly how this happened and then introduce who you are.
Sure, not a problem. So for me, straight after school, what I did was to study banking finance. I think like most people after matric, we all wanted to be accountants. So I studied banking finance. Yeah.
No, I studied finance as well, so I understand.
Yeah, because, I mean, all accountants were supposed to make money. So I went into banking finance.
We thought we knew where the money was, right?
Yeah, I think after matric, everybody thought that. Mm. And I did my first year of banking finance, and that's where one of the modules that I fell in love with was marketing and having to study about consumers and their patterns, their behaviors, etc. And I think that's where I started falling in love with marketing, if I may put it like that. But I still continued having to do banking. I had to finish because otherwise my mom is going to give me a hiding. Mm-hmm. So I finished banking finance and I got into banking. Started all the way as a teller, as a consultant, you name it. And eventually an opportunity came through within the bank for me to get into marketing. So I did marketing within the bank.
Can I interrupt you?
Yeah.
Did you seek that out?
In terms of
the marketing opportunity. So did you kind of feel like this is what you wanted to do? So you said, actually, I'm going to apply for this position and then this position. Were you strategic about it? Was it luck?
I was very strategic about it. Okay. I'm not going to lie. And luckily for me, I had someone that was a mentor as well, whom I'd always said that I would love to get into marketing. Mm. But I didn't have the experience at the time. So an opportunity came through in the events team, and that's where I started into marketing, basically. And at that time, I was already starting marketing. And that's how I got into marketing within the bank, in the events team.
Okay, so that's the journey.
Yes.
Or part of the journey.
Correct.
We'll get into a lot more of it now.
Yeah.
Who are you?
Oh, wow.
And you're welcome to talk about yourself in the third person. We've had that often.
Geez, my name is Lesejo. Lesejo Matabane, for that matter. Can I say my age?
You can if you'd like.
Oh, jeez.
You don't have to, but you can.
My name is Lesejo. Basically grew up in Soweto, like I guess most people like me. And yeah.
I was going to say.
You didn't.
What do you mean?
You didn't.
Okay, yep. And then you're marketing manager for?
Yep. Club Med right now, Club Med South Africa.
And what does Club Med do?
Club Med is we're a tour operator that owns 66 resorts around the world.
Okay.
From ski resorts to sun resorts. So we basically are constantly reminding people to take time out.
Okay.
And go and enjoy themselves and reconnect with family and with loved ones. Whether you want to do a sun holiday, you want to do a ski holiday, we are that perfect brand for you to be able to relax. Because we take care of everything. We organize everything for you. We organize everything for our clients. So you don't have to think about it. We actually just do it for you. So from where do you want to go, we'll organize the flights for you. We'll organize the transfers, what you want to eat, etc. So it's all included. Everything is there for you. You just need to contact us. So we're that one-stop shop for everything.
That sounds fantastic. I know some people that are a little bit control freaks of sorts when they go on holiday, but
yep.
This sounds like my kind of holiday.
I think we actually, for the control freaks as well, I mean, if you've got over 66 resorts around the world, that is enough for anyone that is even a control freak. So you've got that choice as well to be able to choose whatever it is that you want to do.
So we are talking about you here. So
yes.
We'll leave Club Med for a moment. We are talking about you and your journey.
Yes.
Tell us your age, because I think it's significant as part of this conversation.
Yep.
And then let's talk about the timeline. Let's go through this timeline and let's see how you've moved, how you've been able to move or have made yourself move, which is important because too many people think it's luck or only luck. Sometimes it is a little bit of luck. Your age, and let's talk timeline.
Age, I'm actually turning 34 this month.
Okay.
Yes.
So you're a marketing manager of a very large organization at 34.
Correct.
That's significant.
Thank you. I started working for Club Med. I was 30, actually, so this year would be my fourth year.
Okay.
So that's when I got the title of marketing manager for Club Med. So it's been 4 years with Club Med.
Okay.
Yeah.
And let's go back. So you were working in banking.
Yes.
You did the rite of passage, the banker's rite of passage, which really is starting where you started, because you really need to know that kind of information. And then you moved into the marketing position. I don't think you still haven't told me how you did that. Talk me through a couple of experiences. So real world experiences. Your manager said this, and you said no. I'm going to do this. A little bit of that. And then let's talk about the transition from banking into travel brands.
Yeah. Like you say, I did do my time in banking, from being a teller to being a consultant, etc. But I always had my eye on the prize in terms of I would love to get into marketing, but I was not I knew that I needed to have the experience, the knowledge, and I knew that I had to start from the bottom, which is exactly what I did. So when I went from being in, at the time, actually just before going into marketing, I was a team leader for sales consultants, and I knew that my next step needed to be this. And I was having conversations with my manager at the time to say, in terms of succession plan, this is where I'd like to see myself in a marketing position. And it doesn't really matter for me where I start, as long as I can get in there, because I've started this. But I do know that I need to have the practical experience.
So were you realistic about your timeline, though? I just came from a presentation this morning, fascinating presentation. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it was all around the millennials and how there's a difference in thinking, the way that you and I may think and the way that they think. And there's sometimes unrealistic or seemingly unrealistic expectations on timeline and income and so on. Were you unrealistic?
I don't necessarily think so, because for me, I mean, it took me, to be quite honest, 7 years before I could get into marketing.
Okay.
And by the time I got into marketing, at the time, like I said, I was a team leader for sales consultant. You've got levels in the bank, so I moved literally for the same level. With the same amount of money.
But so you went horizontal instead of vertical. Interesting.
Yeah, I did. And that was a conscious decision that I made because I knew at the end of the day, all I want is to be able to get my foot in there so that I can actually have that marketing experience. And once I have that, then I can literally therefore specialize in whatever it is that I wanted to specialize in. But I knew that I had to start right at the bottom.
But 7 years is really, it seems like that's paying you the due that is required to get into an area that you want to be in.
Most definitely. And I do think that the 7 years that I did spend in the bank before getting into marketing and learning the operational things and of how it works in the bank. So operationally, I learned that. I was dealing with customers on a one-to-one basis. And when you move into the marketing space, for me, marketing was never about fluff because I had done my time. I knew operational how things work, and I knew consumers as well, so it was easier for me to be able to translate what I had done in that 7 years and put it into a marketing strategy, because then I was not talking about things that I'm not aware of or things that I haven't experienced myself as well, which made it a bit more easier for me to ease into that position.
Yeah, you could definitely, there's a translation that happens or that could occur that probably doesn't happen too often for others. That's very nice. I like that insight. Okay, so then seven years there. How did this marketing manager Club Med thing happen?
Geez, I had I stayed in within the bank as the marketing. I eventually got the marketing manager position within the bank, and I worked on different portfolios. And I think I had been in the bank for about 9 to 10 years then, and I was looking for something different. But I always...
Different how?
So for me, I knew that I wanted to be in marketing. I wanted to be a marketer. The issue that I had with that was that I was boxing myself. All I was doing was just being a marketing person in banking. And in that way, I knew that if I want to diversify, I needed to do something that was going to be different, even if it meant that it's something that I've never done before. So I was looking for an opportunity that was... different, I guess, like I say. And then what happened was that my different, funny enough, was moving from one bank to the other bank.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if I can mention the bank.
You can if you like.
So I moved from Standard Bank. And I worked for F&B, of which at the time I thought this is very different because F&B had just released a whole Steve marketing campaign. So it was very different in the way that they did things. So I was like, I think that's my different that I'm looking for. And I stayed in F&B, funny enough, for about 11 months up until I got a call from a recruitment agency, and they were like, would you like an opportunity to go into travel? I was like, I have no travel experience.
There's nothing quite like the feeling of being headhunted, right?
Love it.
Tell us about the ego trip that took you on.
I mean, I first started
by
going...
How did you balance it?
Honestly, I was like, sorry, are you calling me for this position? Have you looked at my CV? And like, yeah, we'd really like to actually just meet you, have a chat with you. We really think that you'd be awesome for this position that we have in travel. And I'm not going to lie, as soon as I put the phone down, I was like, wow, I must be good.
And then you flick your hair back and you put your feet on the desk and your boss walks in and says, what the hell are you doing?
Yeah, you know, so it was quite an experience, not going to lie. And then I started shaking and getting a lot nervous now because the ego was like, yeah, I know marketing, but I know nothing about travel. But they must have seen something about this CV and hence why it is that they wanted to see me. So that's how, for me, that opportunity actually came through. I wasn't necessarily looking for travel at that stage in my life. However, I was looking for something different. It's just funny how when you say something to the universe and it just gives it back to you. So I was looking for something that was different, but I didn't know that different at that time was travel. Never even thought about it, that it could be something that would be in travel for that matter. So when this came through, I thought to myself, this is that different that I've been looking for. And I started going for those interviews, hectic interviews, I must say.
No, I'm pretty sure that their vetting process is not nothing to be sneezed at.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's talk a little bit about your career then. Some good questions and maybe some difficult questions. We'll see how it goes. Here's question number one.
Yes.
What is the biggest business mistake that you've made? And don't tell us just the outcome. Give us the story. So what were you doing? What was the project? What was the experience?
Would this be in my current position?
In your career.
The biggest mistake that I have ever made business-wise, I have... made the business lose money before when I was still working for Standard Bank. And all that it was really, I think sometimes what happens is that we get to be so complacent in what we do on a day-to-day basis that you actually forget to check every now and again if there's anything that's new, anything that has changed to your day-to-day job. And the 1 year I was working on a campaign of which the previous year, it was a successful campaign. So what I did was that I applied the very same principles, changed absolutely nothing, and literally took that campaign forward to the next year. Little did I know that there was a change in legislation that I had not acquainted myself with, because for me, what worked before surely should work now. Nothing really should change, which was for me one of the biggest mistakes that I made. Yes, look into what the success of the campaign was, but there must always be something that is new, someone else is doing it differently, or check for that matter, like me, if there is anything new from a law perspective. And in this case, it was just when we had just introduced, or rather, the banking system had introduced FICA. And at the time,
which is no small thing.
No, not at all. And unfortunately, accounts were opened, campaigns were running, and at no point in any of my communication did I mention anything about these FICA documents. In no way did it mention that this is what you actually needed to do. And accounts were opened, things were done already, things were in progression, and then you get that knock on your door from the auditors. That was not a nice feeling.
How did you deal with that? I mean, how did you cope with the backlash?
I think initially I was in shock, I'm not going to lie. But I am one of those people that when there is a problem, the first thing that I like to do is I don't like playing the blame game, because at that time it was a case of you did this and you did that. And I said, that's fine. Tell me what it is that I can do to make this right. Mm. Then we can deal with the fact that I did not actually, you know, look into the legislation, et cetera, et cetera. There must be something. Who can do that? Who can assist me? And how long is that going to take? So I'm quite fortunate in that I don't dwell necessarily in the blame game at that moment. Yeah, the problem comes through.
It sounds like you didn't get too emotional about it. You
not
became,
immediately.
Yeah, exactly. There was definitely emotion. There were definitely things happening, but it's not on the surface and certainly not in your professional environment.
Correct. Because I knew that, yes, there's a problem, but it needed to be solved. And indeed, it could be solved, and there was a dispensation that was given. Needless to say that I did get my warning, which I learned from that pretty quickly. But yeah, I think for me, the biggest lesson in that is to constantly challenge yourself, even if you've done well on something, because things change. New people come into play, new things come into play, and you constantly have to be checking yourself. There's probably 100,000 other people that want to be marketing managers and doing exactly what it is that I'm doing. And in that case, you have to constantly be checking what are you doing, what can you do better, what can you learn from, all of this stuff. And that was for me the biggest, I guess, business learning that I got when I was in the bank.
So I guess my only concern hearing what you're saying is that it almost feels like you now have to look over your shoulder, because you always are potentially under threat, or potentially your position will be usurped by someone perceived to be better. How do you deal with that idea of this constant threat? I mean, of course, it makes us perform better, it makes us perform at a higher rate, etc. But how do you deal with that?
I don't necessarily think it's necessarily a constant threat as such. It's just about, I mean, it's like having to look into competition all the time, so that you can actually learn from that as well. And what it does is it enhances you as a person as well, that you get to want to learn more, you want to get a bit more knowledge as well. And the last thing that I want to be is someone that is complacent. I'd love to be in a position all the time whereby I'm empowering other people and I'm learning as well. The minute you get to a point whereby you feel like you're being stagnant, you have to stop making life decisions. Do you want to move or do you want to do something else that's different?
So I want to just change, because time moves so quickly here in studio. I want to quickly change angle a little bit. You're a young mother.
Yes.
I understand.
Yes.
How do you deal with this idea that, you know, perhaps there may be some people, whether they're younger or older, whomever it is, that will look at you and say, come on, you're a mother first, then you're a professional. How do you cope with and deal with that kind of tussle? Because it is, there's a tension there.
I guess you'll always have that, but I always say I'm Lesego first, mother, then professional.
Okay.
I have to get Lesego first, right first, before I can get any of the other titles right. Mm. And it's not, especially when you're a single parent, being a professional as well, it is a tussle every now and again, because there isn't a formula that one can use and that is quite easy and that works for everyone. Mm. You make it work for you all the time, in terms of time, professionally, in terms of time as well as wanting to be a mother as well. And for me, our PR agency lady will let you know as well that when it comes to weekends, this is where I say no. Saturday, Sunday, that's for me dedicated to myself as well as my son, and nothing else has got to do with work, because Monday to Friday, I put my all into work, and there has to be a separation of the two, because otherwise you just get so overworked and so stressed out. So for me, it's finding that balance that works for me, and it's not a blanket approach that's going to work for everyone. It's about just finding your truth and what it is that you actually want to do, and your time.
Can I challenge that a little bit?
Of course.
May I?
Mm.
Is it not perhaps a little self-centered to say what's me first or find out what my truth is when you have a dependent? And I certainly am not trying to make you feel guilty.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to understand the dynamic.
It is self-centered. I'll agree with that. And I say it's because I have to be self-centered. Mm. If I don't look after myself, nobody else will. Mm. And if I don't look after myself, I won't perform better, whether it be as a mother or in the profession that I'm going to be in.
Sure.
So it's important that I look into me first all the time to say, am I okay? What is it that I want to do? And then once I figured that out, everything else then starts falling into place.
Well, when you're on an airplane and there's an accident or something, and they tell you every single time you're on a flight, if the oxygen mask falls down, put the mask on yourself first so that you can then provide for those around you.
Correct.
And I hear that. Also, Wayne Sampson, he's the CEO of Ellie's, and he said to me once that, because I asked him about the regret that he may have had committing so much of his time to work, and he said, look, Gareth, there's a lot of things that I regret, and I do regret not being able to go to fundraisers or go to birthday parties or perhaps see the first horse ride that my daughter did. But I've been able to provide them with a life that they would never have had in any under any other circumstances, perhaps. And so I think we must always learn that there's an opportunity cost. There's always something's got to give. But it depends how we live, I think.
It truly does. I go through those moments whereby you're asking yourself, should I do this? Should I not do this? And if you had to ask as well, if there was anything that I regret to date, it's sometimes not taking in that time to be selfish.
Mm.
That's one of those things. And secondly, I think, as I alluded to earlier on, when you are a single parent and you're at work and your boy is playing soccer, you're not always there to actually see him.
Mm.
So you try and make up for all those times. But I think more than anything else, I have a conversation with my son, that I'm available this time, and because I'm not available next week, this is what we're going to do together. So I'm trying to always make sure that I've got that time with him, and when I'm not going to be able to do something with him, that I have that conversation with him so that he doesn't feel like mom is just abandoning me.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I think Wayne went on to say that it's about the quality of the time, but quality does not mean how much you can buy for them. It means the actual connection that you're developing. So if you can connect over a video game or you can connect horse riding, well, then do that.
Yeah.
It's such an interesting conversation to be having. I want to ask just one last question because we are very, very close to time here.
Sure.
And it's all the cliched questions, which is, you're an African woman.
Yes.
Do you feel like that it's you that have got the position, or do you feel like it's a little bit of this other stuff in the background that we are continuing to hear? And how do you deal with the idea that there are BEE requirements and things like that? It's an important question to be able to ask, and I know Chloe, if she was here, she'd appreciate this kind of question, because self-worth, we have to identify our point of self-worth, and if we're undermined all the time by these other things, we can't really find that.
I think for me, because I, at the time when I got the position, I knew my worth.
Mm.
I knew that I had done the groundwork.
Mm.
And
I love that.
Yeah.
Ten years in banking means that you've done the groundwork. So you've got real substance that you can lean on there.
Correct. So I did the groundwork. I had studied as well. So I knew my worth at the time. And the position, when I went for it, was, if I can remember, there was nothing there which mentioned whether they wanted an African female, mm. male, et cetera, et cetera. Mm. And I still went for the position. And you need to remember that at the time, I had a job already, so I had nothing to lose. But a different experience that I could gain. So for me, it was important that I showcase the fact that I've got the experience,
mm.
I've done my time, and I can actually make a difference in the space, in the travel industry as well. And I find that that's where I'm at right now, and I'm making that difference.
I love that your confidence is rooted in, and you, we've mentioned time, but real hard work and grind. It's very easy to be able to, and you can see it in someone's eyes when there's this really, maybe it's a terrible word, but there's this flaccid career that they've done, and they say that they've put the time in, but they really haven't. They know they haven't, but yet there's this a bit of arrogance about them. There's none of that with you. Thank you for being here with us. Before we go, I want you to talk to the 20-year-old you at the very beginning, or the 23-year-old you at the very beginning of your career. Give her one piece of advice.
Jeez, my 22-year-old self. Never box yourself. Know that when it comes to finding your passion and your interest, that it's never just one thing. You can actually love and be passionate about more than one thing. And experience is always the best teacher.
Lesego, it's been great to have you on Future CEOs. We so appreciate you. That's Lesego Matabane, Marketing Manager at Club Med SA. We hope you have listened very carefully and heard the lessons. And if you think you've missed something, listen again. Go download the podcast at cliffcentral.com, and you'll be able to hear the lesson over and over, and also the lessons evolve through these conversations. It's been great to be with you. My name is Gareth Armstrong. We will be with you same time, same place next week.
Future CEOs on CliffCentral.com. CliffCentral.com.